This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Snapchat is going public at a very interesting time. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Snapchat parent company Snap has reportedly filed for an initial public offering confidentially. Companies like it can do that these days. We want to take a look at what this means for the company and the broader IPO market. Let's talk to Santosh Rao at Manhattan Venture Partners. Good morning, Santosh.
Good morning.
So let's talk about Snapchat first, which is best known for the disappearing messaging app. But recently, the company changed its name to Snap and rolled out video camera sunglasses. The IPO could value it at $25 billion. What does that say about the company that it's going public now?
I think it's a great time for the company to go public. This was long rumored for a while, and I have no reason to doubt that it will go public next year. And you want to go public when the user metrics are strong and the growth is strong. It's well positioned to capture digital advertising dollars where the market is moving to and where the advertising budgets are moving. I think this is the right time for them to do it, if indeed this news is correct.
This is a big story, but otherwise it's been kind of a grim market for tech IPOs these days. Is this a sign that things are changing, or is this just a sign about Snapchat and nothing else?
I think the market will come back. There was a little bit of pullback. There was some uncertainty regarding the interest rates and the elections and all that. So you will see the dust settle next year, and you will see the IPO market pick up. There is a lot of pent-up demand. A lot of companies waiting in the wings to go public. They've been held back for a long time. The private investors like to get their money back, typically after 7 to 8 years. It's been some companies have been in public for more than 10 years. So I think there is a push there to kind of go public. So they were waiting for the right market to open up. So I think you will see that the market open up when the dust settles. So you will see tech IPOs come back.
Okay, Santosh Rao at Manhattan Venture Partners. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Corporate America's defenders are gearing up to make their case to the Trump administration. Among them, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers. It's asking President-elect Trump to review standards for cars' fuel economy and emissions. These regulations were centerpieces of President Obama's environmental policies. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports on the blockbuster fight ahead.
Automakers worry that the extra costs of complying with Obama's regulations will make their cars too expensive. Bill Rinna is with the consulting firm LMC Automotive.
As costs rise on vehicles, it's getting more and more difficult for customers to pencil in that monthly payment, and loan lengths are getting longer.
And gas prices are down, so there's less incentive for consumers to spend more on fuel-efficient vehicles. Luke Tanishel is with the Natural Resources Defense Council. He says his group will fight any attempts to weaken the clean car and fuel economy standards.
These standards are the single biggest strategy we have today to cut our oil dependence. And at the same time, the standards are cutting the pollution that threatens our climate and our health.
Regulators are currently assessing the standards as part of a midpoint review of the program that established them. That's why automaker lobbyists are hitting hard now. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
The city of Chicago is trying to get to know itself a little better. It's building an extensive network of data sensors that'll track safety and quality of life in the city. It's called the Array of Things, and the hope is it'll make Chicago cleaner and more efficient. But one person's innovation is another's creepy surveillance. WBEZ's Miles Bryan reports on the technology and the privacy concerns.
The people behind the Array of Things bill it as a sort of citywide Fitbit, and the sensors definitely look the part. They're all sleek plastic and aluminum, shaped like beehives and for now mounted on traffic signal poles. They can do things like test air quality, measure noise levels, and track traffic congestion. Charlie Catlett is with the Argonne National Laboratory and the University of Chicago. Both partnered with the city on the project.
The camera that's pointed, it's actually pointed right out at the middle of the intersection.
That's a busy intersection on Chicago's southwest side.
And with that, we're able to count the number of vehicles or pedestrians.
A $3 million grant from the National Science Foundation will pay for the installation of the sensors. In a nearby restaurant, Catlett says they'll try and track not only every accident, but every near miss, too.
Patterns of people rolling through the intersection or patterns of people driving too fast.
This idea is spreading. Similar projects are in the works in Seattle, Atlanta, and Chattanooga. And Catlett says the network doesn't keep sensitive personal information, like pictures of your license plate.
We want this to be the residents of the city watching their city. So it's sort of opposite of Big Brother, if you will.
With the right legal process, the government can turn it into a system that spies on you.
Lee Tien is with the Electronic Frontier Foundation in San Francisco. He says he pushed for privacy protections to be hardwired into the sensors as a sort of fail-safe, but that didn't happen.
All technology today, unless it's very carefully designed to not be able to do more, can do more.
But Chicago resident Aurelis Morales says she's not worried as she stands in a parking lot near one of the first Array of Things sensors.
There's places here in the city that need like stop signs and lights that aren't there. And I think that's pretty cool because then they could see that.
All 500 of the sensors should be installed by 2018. In Chicago, I'm Miles Bryan for Marketplace.
And finally, weather can doom people working in the commodities world. Climate risk is also a factor in the growing business of farming legal pot. And in parts of Oregon, record rain means large amounts of marijuana are moldy and worthless. One estimate is that about 20% of crops will have to be destroyed. How do farmers at pot get rid of their ruined crops? They burn them. Farmers are prepping for 10-foot-high bonfires and a deep river of stoner tears. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.